Hearing King Prataparudra's determination, Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya became thoughtful. Indeed, he was very much astonished to see the king's determination. So I want to read previous two verses so we have relevance. Why, what is he astonished about and why is he astonished? So this is verse 48. Maharaj Prataparudra continued, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined not to see me, then I am determined to give up my life if I do not see him. Text 49. If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. And now today's verse in context. Hearing King Prataparudra's determination, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became thoughtful. Indeed, he was very much astonished to see the king's determination. Purport. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was astonished because such determination is not possible for a worldly man attached to material enjoyment. The king certainly had ample opportunity for material enjoyment, but he was thinking that his kingdom and everything else was useless if he could not see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is certainly sufficient cause for astonishment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that bhakti, devotional service, must be unconditional. No material impediments can actually check the advancement of devotional service, be it executed by a common man or a king. In any case, devotional service rendered to the Lord is always complete. Despite the devotee's material position, devotional service is so exalted that it can be executed by anyone in any position. One must simply be dhṛta vṛta, fully determined. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Ukam karoti vācālam phagulam gāyate gīram yakrapātam aham bande Sri Guru Dīna Tārīna. Banchakal Paturbyascha Kapasan Kutitanam Pavanebyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha. It's always nice to be here with you, enthusiastic devotees. So, in this story, we're seeing two things. One is Maharaj Prataparudra's determination. Either I get Krishna or I die. And the astonishment, as said in this verse, vismita means astonished. Why is it astonishing? Because he's a king, and you don't expect a king to have that kind of determination because he's surrounded by material opulence. Yeah. Generally, when you're surrounded by material opulence and you live like a king, you would not feel this way. So, and then Prabhupada picks up on this point and says, well, it doesn't matter. So, my dear devotees, have you ever blamed a situation on your lack of advancement? That never happens to you, right? Remember this story if you do, because Prabhupada is making the point that I would say the point Prabhupada's making is if you blame it on your circumstance, you must not be very determined. Right? I mean, we could make that conclusion from this, yes? And if you're determined, no circumstance will stop you. And I will give you an example, and I think you've all had this experience. Have you ever been hungry and there's nothing to eat? You open your refrigerator and someone cleaned it out an hour before. Or you come back to the temple, there's nothing to eat, and you're starving. What do? You say, oh, I guess I'll starve tonight. No. You start getting out your flashlight, looking around, asking, do you have any prasadam? You know where I can get, isn't it? Yes? Or it's It's late at night, after work, you come home, there's nothing to eat. You go out shopping, you know, you're like the only person in the store. It's 11 o'clock at night. Like, what are you doing here? I'm starving. I have to eat something. Okay, has anyone not had that experience? Somehow you find prasadam, right? Yes? Why? Because you really want it. You want it so badly, you can't go to bed without it. So it doesn't matter what the situation is, where you are, what time of night it is, what city you're in, whose house you're in, sometimes. You find it, right? Because you want it. So that's the point Prabhupada's making. So if we see there's a situation, it's not conducive to our bhakti, and we give in to that situation, then Prabhupada would say, I guess you're not determined. Yes? You agree? Anyone disagree? You can disagree. It's okay. Now, interestingly, Prabhupada at different times has mentioned that the real aspect of initiation is one's determination to follow the principles. It's not actually the ceremony. And sometimes Prabhupada would say, your real initiation is your determination to follow. And my touch is just the formality. So some of you may not be initiated, and you're wondering, when will I get initiated? And the answer is, when you're determined to follow, you are initiated. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Yes? And we have some example, either aside from Mathura Maharaj Pratapurudra, who's such a good example. I have.
Is it hot? No, it's not. Okay, thank you.
When I think of Srila Prabhupada, I think whatever difficulty we are having, whatever trouble we're facing, whatever discouragement comes in our life. If we think of Prabhupada, we have this example of the person who never gave up despite all obstacles, right? We have like the perfect example to inspire us. So in a sense, we could say nobody has an excuse not to be inspired because we have Prabhupada's example, right? So one time, a devotee was very discouraged because of how she was being treated by the men. And she wanted to give up. And she went to Prabhupada and said, I quit. And occasionally, devotees would go to Prabhupada and say, I quit. Because things would become so difficult. Right? And Prabhupada said, you have no right to quit. If anyone has a right to quit, it's me. And then Prabhupada went on to explain, like, all the reasons you could give, he could give as justification to quit. He came alone, no support from anyone. Not only did he not get support, as we know, some of his godbrothers were critical of him. It's one thing not to get support, that's bad enough. You know, here's the mission, Prabhupada wants this, and it's falling on deaf ears. But some people don't want him to be successful or criticizing him for the way he's establishing Krishna consciousness. It's pretty discouraging, isn't it? And nobody came to help. Out of thousands and thousands of disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, nobody came to help. Pretty discouraging. What do you think? Would you be discouraged? Maybe. Yes. So Prabhupada said, I'm the only one who has the right to be discouraged. And he said, I am not discouraged. I never allow myself to become discouraged. And I think this is really important because discouragement, like we can have, everything can be lined up to be discouraged. Like you have all the reasons to be discouraged. And we have Prabhupada's example. Here's all the reasons. But I wouldn't allow myself to become discouraged. Do you ever have reasons to become discouraged? Yes? Yeah, we all do. I mean, just our mind is enough reason, right? What our mind generates, what's in our heart, it can be discouraging, isn't it? Like, And often we become discouraged just by seeing how far we are from Krishna, how slow we're moving, how anarthas are still there that we thought we had overcome. It's discouraging. And so, using Prabhupada's example, I never allowed myself to become discouraged. This is really important. You can do this experiment. I don't recommend it, but you can do it. But you can, don't do it, just imagine doing it, or maybe you have experience of this. This is how to become discouraged. One easy step. Would you like to learn? Meditate on something that discourages you. Meditate on something that bothers you. Meditate on something you don't like. Meditate on something that upsets you. And meditate on it long enough, and I will guarantee you will become discouraged. Anyone have that experience? Think about it, talk about it, call it, talk, you know, write about it, Facebook, Instagram about it. Just keep talking, thinking about it. The more you meditate on it, you'll hit a point where you just become discouraged. Oh, I'm fed up. Yes? So we have a story. This took place in India during the establishment of the Juhu Temple. And we had to get a permit to build the temple there, but the man who sold us the land, Mr. Nair, was in cahoots with the people who would give the permit, and he didn't want us to get the permit. Because if we didn't get the permit, we couldn't build the temple, and if we couldn't build the temple, then the land would go back to him, and we would lose our money. So that was his plan. As I understand, our lawyers were being paid off by him and were working against us. So. You were there, Yadubhan? Is that correct, or did I, more or less?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So devotees didn't know this, so they were going down to, you know, Prabhupada wanted them to go every day and get the permits. So, you know, in India, you might think it's just bureaucracy. You know, it's just taking you along. Go to this office, get this stamp, then see him. And he's not in his office. Come back later. You come back later. Oh, he went to Calcutta. You know, he'll be back next month. You know, like that could be normal. So they didn't really know what was going on. So as you could imagine, you spend all day in Mumbai in the hot weather, going office to office and getting told, just wait here, just sit here. Well, you know, and you're sitting and nothing's happened. Go to his office. He'll say, sorry, I can't help you. Go to the, I mean, that's, it must have been that way. Or you'll need this and that to get the, you know, and you bring this and that back and it's not happening. So this one devotee tells a story that when he came back one night, he was so discouraged that during the Sandhya Arti. It was every night in those days, all the devotees went to Sandhya Arti. So during that Sandhya Arti, he was sitting down, just like looking at the floor. And Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada saw him. You could imagine, you know, he's going every day, nothing's happening. He's just sitting like that, discouraged and miserable. And in the Bhagavad Gita class, Prabhupada said, you should dance in the kirtan even if you don't get the municipal permit. So, you know, Prabhupada was observing. And so I personally took this instruction to heart because we had heard another instruction which was similar. If you don't feel like dancing, dancing, and you'll feel like dancing. So I always thought that was such a valuable instruction. And sometimes, you know, you're in kirtan and you're moping and groping and, you know, somebody pulls you in and, like, dance, spin you around, and you're like, I don't want to. But, you know, you don't have any choice now, right? And you do it and you become enthusiastic, isn't it? So I heard something very interesting a couple days ago. As I looked at this verse and it talked, you know, it was talking about Maharaj Pratapudra's determination. And I thought, well, let's search Srila Prabhupada determination. And Prabhupada said something very interesting, which I want to talk about. He quoted the verse, Utsaha Nishtayad Daryat. Utsaha means enthusiasm, Nishtayad, patience, Daryat, and determination. Triti means determination. And in this verse, yeah, Dridha Vrata, Prabhupada refers to Dridha, Triti, determination, Dritta Vrata, a vow to be determined. So I was thinking, so many things I was thinking about determination. And all the verses, there's so many verses in the Gita about determination. Determination in different modes, what it means, not being swayed by the dualities, you know, tolerance and so on. And then Prabhupada said, determination comes from enthusiasm. Utsahan is first. If you have enthusiasm, you have determination. I said, wow, that made it pretty simple, didn't it? Yes? Isn't that interesting? If you have enthusiasm, you have determination. So then now, probably you're all thinking, okay, so how to be enthusiastic? And sometimes the only way to be enthusiastic is to be enthusiastic. Because I think we all know, all of us who've been around the block a few times know, without enthusiasm, nothing's going to happen, right? And as I said, if you meditate on negativity, then you become discouraged. And Prabhupada would sometimes, in his lectures, he would talk and tell us what Maya is telling us. He'd say, Maya is telling you, why are you getting up so early? Why are you taking so much trouble? You should just relax and enjoy and be happy. Did Maya ever tell you that? Maya's message. Yeah. So, I had an experience many times. In my most difficult times as a devotee, the times where I could have easily been the most discouraged, I made a decision to be the most encouraged. I would like just push myself. So one day you might see me and I'm like really enthusiastic in the kirtan and think, wow, you must have distributed 100 Bhagavad Gitas yesterday. I was like, no, I sat on the street corner and cried for the whole 8 hours in Sankirtan. I couldn't approach anybody. So why are you dancing like this? He said, because if I don't, Maya's going to like totally destroy me because I'm so discouraged. I don't want to go out tomorrow. So I always reasoned that in the most difficult times is when I need the most enthusiasm. And in those times where it doesn't seem like there's a reason to be enthusiastic, that's the biggest reason to be enthusiastic, because otherwise Maya's going to come and say, you know, I don't think you should do Sankirtan. It's too hard for you. It's not your nature. And you should do something easier. Actually, you should just go home for a while and relax. Take it easy. This is too austere. So, my big message in this class today is we all can contemplate how to remain enthusiastic. Because if we're enthusiastic, then Prabhupada said, determination will be a byproduct automatically. And of course, we need determination because Maya will always offer you something, right? Yeah? She'll always make an offer that seems too good to refuse. But if you're enthusiastic, then you're good. And one thing that Prabhupada told me is at one point, I was doing a lot of traveling and encouraging Sankirtan devotees. So I wrote Prabhupada to explain what I was doing and gave him some Sankirtan scores that makes him happy and said, I'm enthusing the Sankirtan devotees. And Prabhupada was very happy. And he gave a secret of how to be enthusiastic, another secret. He said, by enthusing the devotees, you become enthused. So this is total fake it till you make it. Maybe you're not even enthusiastic about something and you go, Jai Prabhu, Sankirtan, we're going out tonight. And you don't want to go out, it's cold, and, you know, you're tired. And, And you will find that by trying to enthuse other devotees, you become enthused. And so that was another secret for Srila Prabhupada. And another thing that Prabhupada said, when he was asked, why are you traveling so much? He said, to enthuse my disciples. So obviously enthusiasm is important. It's important enough that Prabhupada would sacrifice his comfort and his health. And there's one letter Prabhupada had traveled, I think, from India to Australia. And after he got there, he said, I can't do this anymore. It's too difficult. So Prabhupada was sacrificing his health, his well-being, to enthuse us. He felt it was like so important to keep us enthused. So I would say, at least this is how I think, somehow or other, we have to remain enthusiastic. And so my suggestion to all of us would be, whether you're enthusiastic or not, whether you're waiting to become enthusiastic, don't wait. Somehow or other, figure out how you can be enthusiastic. What can you do? How can you think? What mentality? What is it? Who else can you enthuse? How can you be enthusiastic? That's so important. And often we find that your enthusiasm often exists within a particular service. And you may not even know what that service is, but it's something that you feel so inspired by that you feel like you could do this every day, all day. And you're naturally enthused. If you can find a service like that, what a blessing, isn't it? You don't have to create enthusiasm. You wake up thinking, yes. I often tell devotees, when they ask me, well, how do you get up early? And I say, do you like to chant japa? And they say, no. I say, then why would you want to get up early? Because that's the first thing you're going to do when you get up. So we always procrastinate, isn't it? We procrastinate on things we don't like doing. I'll do it later. So why would you want to get up for something that you want to do later? Or you don't even want to do and you would procrastinate? You wouldn't. But if you learn to chant properly and relish japa and like it, you want to get up early because that becomes a special time. Oh, this is so special, early in the morning, me and Krishna alone chanting. So when it's time to get up and you're like contemplating, should I actually get up? Should I open my eyes and sit up? Or should I just lay here and close my eyes? When you're contemplating, if there's something to get up for, you're more likely to get up, correct? So Prabhupada said, if you have a service that enthuses you, you will be enthused in your sadhana. They go together. And so I think the worst thing for any devotee is to not be inspired. What do you think? Like, what could be worse than that, right? And with all the services we have, the potential we have, and all the people that aren't Krishna conscious, there's so much to do. No one really has an excuse to not be enthused. And if we're not enthused, it's just a question of, well, maybe not only, but it's often just a question of connecting with a service that is enthusing. Or being able, or finding time to do those things that will inspire you. Just like, you know this story? One, I don't know who it was, maybe one of Prabhupada's servants. He set up a schedule for Prabhupada. He said, this at this time, this at this time. And Prabhupada looked at the schedule and said, I can't do that. It's like I don't know if he said I'm not a robot, but it's something like that. And so Prabhupada was saying, no, sometimes I read, sometimes I do bhajan, sometimes I do this and that. And I think for all of us, there are certain things that just inspire us. Yes, isn't it? Some of you, if you just do a bhajan, it's like, ah, okay. Okay, I can face the day now, isn't it? Or some of you learn a shloka, or some of you read Prabhupada's books, or some of you do deity worship, or some of you play mridanga, do kirtan. It's like, okay, I'm okay now. And you'll even see in your own life, when that's lacking, you become morose. even though you chanted good rounds and this and that, but there's something that's so important for you, if you don't do it, you become morose. Any of you have that experience? Aside from eating Mahaprasad. That also does happen. But and if you don't know what that is, think about what is it? What is it that will give me life? What is it that inspires me? You want to hear my story? Personal confession. So, I very much like to teach, and I like to go out and meet people and introduce them to Krishna. I don't really like to stay back and manage things. I could do it, but I never really liked it. It always was like, it's like, okay, I'll do it. And so anybody who could manage and is willing to do it usually gets a job as a manager, because we always need managers. And so there was always a need for managers, and I was submissive, so I got exploited. Don't be too submissive. You might get exploited. So I was only kidding, yeah. But I was agreeable. So I, by the time I'd been a devotee for 12 years, I'd already been temple president 4 times and Sankirtan leader multiple times. It was all management stuff. It was like, if you ask me, when did you stop learning shlokas? I say, the day they made me temple president, that was the day. When did you stop studying every day Prabhupada's books, writing your religion? The day they made me temple president, that was the day. That's me personally. It doesn't necessarily mean that would be true for you, but for me it was. And what happened was, every time I was given that managerial position, you could put on a calendar, just mark 2 years and put the date exactly, I would give that up. I said, I can't do this anymore. Like that date, it was like 700 days, or 699, or 701. So, I'm like serious. It's like, I cannot remember a service in management that for me lasted more than 2 years. On that 700th day, you couldn't get me out of bed. It's like, that's it, I can't do this, right? Then this went on, two years. It went on until the mid-90s, I think, when I finally was no longer managing, but I was teaching. I joined the VIG. I was teaching. And when I was managing the Sankirtan party, this isn't like the 70s, I was managing a big Sankirtan party in Los Angeles. And I used to sit in my office and dream about teaching in Mayapur. That's where my mind was, even though I was, Prabhupada said managing Sankirtan is like such a precious service, and it was wonderful. But my mind was in Mayapur dreaming how I would be teaching. And so it was only when I started teaching that I became steady. And so since 1996, I went to VIG. And what? How many years is that? Almost 30, right? I've done the same thing for 30 years. Isn't that interesting? And there's another story about a devotee. I heard this story. He went to Mayapur for the first time. And when he saw Mayapur, he just was like, wow, I would love to manage this place. And somebody heard him say that and went to Prabhupada and said, this devotee would like to manage this place. And Prabhupada called him in and said, would you like to manage? But just to show the difference in nature, like it's not like my position was not wrong or right, his position was not wrong or right, but everybody has their nature. So when I see Mayapur, I'm like, I'm so happy I don't have to manage this place. Just put me on the class schedule, or I'll Give me a hall, I'll do a seminar. I can do a seminar retreat all day. I can go. People say, aren't you tired? You know, we started at like 5 a.m., we finished at 9. Aren't you tired? No, I'm just getting warmed up. I love this. Right? So you, when you love something, obviously you get energy. When you don't, it drains your energy. So I see my upper like, thank God I don't have to manage this. I would never. I made a vow, actually. After my last stint as temple president, I made a vow that I would never manage a temple again. Probably one of the only vows I've kept very strictly, never broke. I got close to breaking it, but it was just a realization that if I engage in my nature, then I'll naturally be enthusiastic. So Prabhupada's saying enthusiasm is the source of your determination, and so that makes it so much easier, doesn't it? And you find what inspires you. You know, you're inspired to get that prasadam when you're hungry. You find it. It doesn't matter, right? Somehow or other, you find it. That's the consequence of enthusiasm. Maharaj Prataparudra, he's very enthusiastic to meet Mahaprabhu. Dhruva Maharaj, very enthusiastic. So if we don't find what we're enthused about, it makes it very difficult. I have another story. It's a really interesting story. Would you like to hear it? Yeah. It's a good story to ponder. So there was a godbrother of ours who's no longer with us. His name is Prajapati, and Prajapati is an actor, and there was a acting troupe called the Vaikuntha Players, and Prabhupada liked them so much, he sponsored them to travel around the world. And Prajapati was part of this, his wife was part of this. Prajapati is an actor, and if you ever met Prajapati, he's an actor off stage and an actor on stage, right, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, and that's how he talks. Like, you know, he's like doing Hamlet, you know, like 24/7. So, and he has to act. So he lives in Dallas, and I spent some years in Dallas, and my wife and I were walking in a park a few blocks from the temple, and there's a theater, an outdoor theater, you know, those outdoor theaters with the big cement back, so the sound just, and Hamlet's going on, or Macbeth, or something, and we hear a voice, to be or not to be, and I'm like, wow, that sounds like Prajapati, and we're listening, and we're like, that's Prajapati doing whatever, Hamlet, Macbeth, or whatever. And I turned to my wife and I said, isn't that interesting? Like, because he was trying to do drama at the temple, but there was nobody to do drama with. And so because it's his nature, he has to do it. And so, like Krishna says, you can't repress your nature. It's your nature. You will do it somehow or other. So because he couldn't do it for Krishna, he had to do it anyway. It's his nature. Isn't that interesting? So some devotees say, I don't know what my nature is, but I think maybe you know what it is, but you're afraid to admit it. I don't know. I always think, how could you not know your nature? It's like, how is that possible? And if you don't know your nature, ask your mother. What did I like to do when I was a kid? She'll tell you what your nature is. But there's a letter. It's really, really interesting. There are letters in which sometimes Prabhupada is saying that, you know, Krishna consciousness is really primarily foremost for us to become purified. We're here. So beyond the mission of bringing people in, we start with us. That we should be purified because, you know, we don't want to be losing devotees in the name of making more. So sometimes he would say that I create all these service for my devotees who need big projects. Like almost like we don't need a big project, but the devotee needs a big project to keep them busy. You know, it's like the genie, you know. Tell me what to do or I'll kill you, you know. So it's kind of like that, the way Prabhupada said, you know, I've created these big grotesque projects because you need big projects to manage. So his point was, and he made this point other times, that service is for you. Like oftentimes, those who are preachers or book distributors, they realize that actually, even if I don't distribute any books, I need to go out and do this for my own benefit, my own purification. So sometimes we can think that, okay, what's the best service I can do? Yeah, there are so many best services we can do, but sometimes we have to consider, what's the best service for my Krishna consciousness? And so Prabhupada often said that. And sometimes he said, it doesn't even matter what you do, but you should be engaged in a way that you're absorbed. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we have mission and we have duties and so many things are important. And sometimes Prabhupada, of course, is emphasizing those things, but sometimes he's saying, it doesn't matter. Just be engaged somehow or other. Because if we're not engaged in Krishna service, what are we engaged in? Whose service are we engaged in? I had a funny conversation with once. Badahari was at my house, and our neighbor was there, and we were talking. Our neighbor is a musician. Of course, Badahari is a musician. And Badahari has a recording studio. I have a recording studio. And our neighbor had a recording studio. And other devotees have. So we're talking, and Badahari is saying, yeah, you know, I tried to hold off, you know, my tendency to do music and compose. Like, I held that off for many years. But when technology advanced to a certain point, I couldn't not do it. And I said, exactly the same thing happened to me. And the other devotee said, exactly the same thing happened to me. It's just, it's our nature. We couldn't stop. We couldn't stop doing it. And I often think of Satsarupa Maharaj, who's written, who knows how many books he's written? 100 or something? He's always writing. And so, if Prabhupada told Satsarupa, please do not write, what do you think would happen? He probably would not even be alive today if he couldn't do that. Seriously. And they say, often, when people retire and they have nothing to do, their health declines, and so you stay active after you retire. There was a devotee who was also a musician, and she became a temple president, and she became ill. And she went to an Ayurvedic doctor, and he said, the reason you're ill is because you stopped doing music. Wow, isn't that interesting? So, of course, we want to surrender, we want to do the needful. At the same time, there are certain things that give us life, and if we deny that to ourselves, it's not good for us, it's not intelligent. And those things that give us life can be very simple, very, very simple. But they're very, very important. So the message is, somehow or other, we need to be enthusiastic. And from that enthusiasm, determination will come. The last thing I want to say is that we were talking about initiation, and really, initiation, the way I have always seen initiation, is the devotee committing to their guru and to the deities and the Vaishnavas that in this life, I will go back to Godhead. I will do whatever is necessary. I will not stop short of giving my best to become a pure devotee. That's what it means to be initiated. Like, I'm making that determination, because that's Prabhupada's whole context of initiation is determination. I'm making that this life, I will dedicate myself to Krishna consciousness. And so we all need to be thinking how to be in this mentality 24/7, that my life is solely dedicated to perfecting it. And last night we were talking, Gopal and I, about getting old. Have you noticed you're getting older? Have any of you noticed that? You don't notice it. You start really noticing it about 32. You notice it more at 42. You notice it more at 52. 72? Yeah, you really notice it. And we're talking about, you know, getting older. You have to be serious. And I said, because I teach japa, I said, My meditation on japa is like, life is too short to waste time chanting bad japa. Like, you can't afford it. You only have so many days left. So you could expand that, right? And so life is too short to waste a day on anything that's not advantageous for your Krishna consciousness, right? And so that's what it means to be initiated. That's the thinking. That's the kind of determination that I am going to utilize my time in Krishna service. That's what it means. It's pretty simple. And whatever you have to do to think that way, whatever you have to do to be enthusiastic, just do it, because that's what Prabhupada wants. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai go premanandi. And if you're not enthusiastic, it doesn't matter. Just be enthusiastic. I have experience of this, actually, because Prabhupada said this, but I actually learned this outside of ISKCON from another teacher. You know, like he said, like, everything depends on your mental state. So why would you want to have a mental state that is not enthusiastic and positive? It doesn't make any sense, because you can't achieve what you want to achieve unless you're positive. So he was always saying, put yourself in a positive state, even physiologically. You just stand up straight and just go, yes! You know, it's time for Sangirtan, and your immediate response is, oh, God. Where's the nearest bed? You ever have that experience? When there's something you don't want to do and someone says it's time to do it, you get tired? Start yawning? Yeah. So I learned, when that starts to set in, just switch it. Yes, Sangirtan, Kija, I can't wait, let's go. And you think, that is so artificial and so vaidhi, you're so vaidhi bhakti, Prabhu, that's so artificial. You're just forcing yourself. It's not raganuga. But it actually makes you raganuga when you do that, believe it or not. And if you don't believe me, just try it. The thing you don't like and you hesitate, just go, Jai, I love this. Let's do it. I'm so enthusiastic. One more story. I mean, this is real life. It you can force yourself to be enthusiastic by faking it. Fake it till you make it. It works that way. So, one more story. I was temple president in Vancouver, Canada in 1970. And 1970 is early in the movement, and most of the devotees were young, obviously. And nobody wanted to go out on Sankirtan. Like, and that was all we did. After breakfast, we clean the temple and we go on Sankirtan. From, like, whatever, 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And Vancouver is a similar weather to here. It's the same longitude or latitude. Which, is this longitude or latitude? Who knows? This is the same. If you just go west, you end up in Vancouver, as far as I can tell. Bad news, they have warmer summers than you, even though same latitude. So we would go out into Hainam, and you know, it was cold, and the people would just walk by and ignore us like we didn't exist. So the devotees were like, ah. I say, time for Sangirtan, and I didn't want to go out either. And I have to go, Sangirtan ki jai! That's what I'd have to do. So it was good for me. Because if I wasn't enthusiastic, they wouldn't be enthusiastic. And I swear, every day when it was time to leave, I couldn't get them to leave. I couldn't get them out. I'd have to, like, take a broom and knock them down the stairs, get them outside. But I couldn't get them back. They didn't want to leave. So that's also the nature of it. If you just can force yourself, and be enthusiastic, even if you're not. You do it and you become enthusiastic. And I noticed another thing. I was made temple president like 8 months in the movement. I first went to Vancouver. I joined in January. I went there in August to be the temple president. Could you imagine? And I'm thinking, why in the world would they ask me to do this? And I realized, or I didn't realize, I saw that the people who were given the leading positions were the most enthusiastic. The most enthusiastic devotees were, you go start a temple. It was just, it was like, it was just a thing. If you were enthusiastic, you moved up the corporate ladder, so to speak. And I noticed that. I was very enthusiastic by nature. And I noticed that. I was, this is really interesting. The most enthusiastic devotees become the leaders because they enthuse others. And really, we're all meant to be leaders by enthusing others, right? And so that's something to take on board, that you just kind of, you become a leader naturally when you're enthusing others. That's what a leader is meant to do. Okay, so I think I've ended. We'll see. But we have time for questions and comments, right? Yes. Yes. Can you say that again in the microphone?
My name is Prayojana Das, and I found Prabhupada's teachings, they're a total inspiration to me. And I found, I've got this transcendental calendar here, where he succinctly puts this way we can surrender. And it's December 19th, it's a letter to Jaya Pataka Swami. I don't know if you know or remember it yourself. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. So he says, whatever is meant to be, I'm doing. So let me do it with my full attention. And then he says, let me become absorbed in such a service, never mind what it is. And it is, let all other considerations be forgotten and only my only pleasure is Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. So he just says, yes, just to be dedicated, desire me and absorb yourself in whatever you're doing. And we just want to please Krishna, not ourselves. That's surrendering.
Thank you. You're an example of that. I was so inspired when I come here and see you cleaning the temple. Because a senior devotee doing a menial service. It's such a good example. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for a very inspiring class. You brought a lot of enthusiasm into our hearts. My question is, I was meditating on this whole concept of enthusiasm. And would you say that enthusiasm can also go down as a and divide it into, let's say, faith and reciprocation? Because even enthusiasm is, to a degree, needs to be based on something. That I have faith in the process, and I, to a degree, seen the results of the process. So I felt the reciprocation previously, and I have that it will, I have the faith that it will come again. Maybe if you can share something about these two concepts, faith and reciprocation.
Yeah, well, there's a story one of my godbrothers told me. He was looking at this prayer, Jagannath Swami, Nayana Patagami Baba to me, and he thought, something's wrong with this prayer because we're asking Krishna to show himself to us. And we always heard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you should show yourself to Krishna. He should want to see you because of your service. And now this prayer is saying, please reveal yourself to me. And so the devotee asked Prabhupada, is this wrong? And Prabhupada said, no. And Prabhupada's answer was, unless Krishna reveals himself to you, how will you continue in your bhakti? So it's like you're saying, unless there's some realization that Krishna's there. So the mood of the devotee asking, reveal yourself to me, he's only asking that to be inspired. Like sometimes we're chanting, say, Krishna, please reveal yourself in your holy name. Not because I want to sit and enjoy the holy name, but because I want to realize your presence, which will help me be a better devotee, a better servant. So what you say is correct. And anything that we want from Krishna, if we want it to better serve him, then it's fine. Then it's true, you know. Realization is important. I wouldn't say it's important, I would say it's necessary, because if we don't realize Krishna's present in the service and the name and the deity and so forth, then what are we serving? We're serving an idol. We're serving a material sound. It doesn't work. So it's a natural desire. Krishna, reveal yourself. And we need that. But at the same time, if we execute devotional service properly, it comes, realization comes, experience comes, because Krishna wants to give that. There's a story, one man asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? He was a guest. And Prabhupada said, yes, can you see Krishna? And the man said, no. And there was a devotee there, Mula Prakriti. And Prabhupada said to her, can you see Krishna? She said, no, Prabhupada, I can't see Krishna, but I want to see Krishna. And Prabhupada said, and I want to show you Krishna. So Prabhupada wants to show us Krishna. Krishna wants to show himself to us. There's only one problem. It's our lack of purity, or maybe our lack of desire. So if you want to see Krishna and you execute the process, and you have that desire, it's not a bad desire, it's actually necessary. There's a really interesting story. Thakur Haridas was praying to Mahaprabhu for a taste for the holy name. Like that, like Thakur Haridas is praying for a taste. But taste can mean many things, but it's similar to what we're discussing. Please, you know, reveal yourself, because as Prabhupada said, if Krishna, you don't reveal yourself, how can I go on? And so, what I would also say in that equation, your enthusiasm is a catalyst for Krishna to reciprocate. Especially enthusiasm when you're not enthusiastic, because you know, I'm going to go on enthusiastically even if I don't feel it. And I'm going to act against how I feel sometimes because it's the right thing to do. And feelings are, you know, you can't always control feelings, but you can control how you act. So that's important. So a lot of times we don't feel enthusiastic. And someone might say, well, if you don't feel it, how can you act that way? Well, look at Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna didn't feel like fighting. And Krishna's saying you should fight even though you don't feel like it. And this is why. So he's not denying Arjuna, well, you know, that you don't feel this way. He acknowledged this is how you feel. But you need to rise to a level where no matter what you feel, you can go on. So Arjuna lost his son on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and so did Dronacharya. And Dronacharya gave up, and Arjuna didn't. So Prabhupada said, Arjuna is a pure devotee because he was overcome with lamentation by the loss of his son, but he didn't give up his duty. Dronacharya did. And so when we're more advanced in Krishna consciousness, we'll remain enthusiastic despite whatever happens. And that's why Krishna's saying, don't fluctuate in happiness and distress, loss and like that. Naturally, if you're successful, you're happy. Naturally, if you fail, you're unhappy. But be steady. Like, how are you going to be determined to be steady? You have to be tolerant. You have to tolerate your own emotions sometimes and not give in to them. Not that they're not there, not that you don't experience them, but feeling your emotion and giving into it are two different things. So I think that's important. And that example of Arjuna is like perfect, isn't it? A man said to Prabhupada, Arjuna was not a pure devotee because he was lamenting that his son had died. And Prabhupada said, it is natural if your son dies, you will lament. But he didn't give up his fight. That means he's a pure devotee.
Wow.
Nice, huh? So yes, if we remain enthusiastic, like you want faith, you want reciprocation, so what are you doing so Krishna will reciprocate with you? You do some austerity, you make some sacrifice, you get reciprocation. You take it easy and you don't. So you know that from experience, right? It's Nirjali Ekadasi. Jai! I love Nirjali Ekadasi. It's my favorite day. Like sometimes your intelligence understands it, but your heart is like not there. But you can be enthused by what your intelligence is telling you. Yeah. Nirjali Ekadasi. Fasting is beautiful, I love it, even though I hate it. But when I do it at the end of the day, I feel like, yes, I conquered my tongue, conquered my mind, I feel good. So fasting is beautiful, even though I hate to do it. So we can, you know, talk to ourselves in a way we can be determined. Anything else?
Thank you, Bubu. I have a question about, in terms of enthusiasm,
okay.
Would it come from knowledge? In terms of the items of knowledge
mm-hmm.
in the Bhagavad Gita, to destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge.
So the question is how knowledge helps our enthusiasm?
Yes.
I think it's kind of self-evident. When, one thing you could say, and you could establish this fact or argument quite well, Prabhupada's speaking to us, Prabhupada's writing his books and teaching us is just so we would become enthusiastic. Like everything Prabhupada is teaching us is so we can become enthusiastic about bhakti. Because we're so enthusiastic about everything but bhakti as conditioned souls. So I think we can easily say knowledge naturally makes us enthusiastic because it gives us purpose. You know, like, don't you feel purpose-driven after you read? Your intelligence is clear, your intention is clear. So intention and clarity is all necessary to be enthusiastic. So I think it's a natural byproduct of studying. And I've found in my own life and the life of other devotees, whenever anything is lacking, often the culprit is I'm not studying. Because when intelligence is clear, determination won't actually be there, right? Yeah. So if intelligence becomes dull because we're not hearing sufficiently and thinking properly, we're not utilizing intelligence, yeah, you could lose your determination quite easily. So thank you for pointing that out. That's very important. I mean, you know, Prabhupada translated a lot of books that translates into, like, he wants us to study, obviously. If Prabhupada translated one book and said, that's enough, then you could say, I guess study is not that important. Who else? Abdul, you are. Whoever has the mic can ask the question. I'll let it happen. Yes.
My enthusiasm is getting the better of me. They're really...
Oh, good.
So you've mentioned the point of being Tapa president and your max, your plateau was 2 years. And then after that, you knew you couldn't do it anymore. And I find myself...
Oh, I have a story.
Yeah.
Because that looks really bad on my CV, doesn't it? But there's a story. It does look pretty bad. Why are they allowing him to give class? He's so unsteady in his service. There was a devotee who was temple president, and like me, he couldn't do it. It was like, it was just burned out, you know, not his position. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada wasn't happy, obviously. He liked us to be steady. And he asked this devotee, he said, what can you do that you will remain steady at it for the rest of your life? What service can you do for the rest of your life and remain steady at it? Wow. That's a great question to ask yourself, isn't it? What service can you do for the rest of your life steadily? I'm off the hook now, right? It's bona fide. Yes, okay,
all
go ahead.
All glories to your service, Maharaj. All glories to your service. Even if you had a three-year plateau at the time. So I find myself in a position when I'm taking up services that are not particularly fun for me to not have a point to push back. Because we're told that we should surrender to, you know.
Especially if you live in a temple.
Yeah. So for me, as a new joiner in the Soho London Temple, I'm taking up services that are not
particularly. But that's also good.
Yeah. So that was my question. If I know something doesn't benefit me long term, when is the right time to push back and ask for something that does actually fuel us?
Well, you know, living in a temple in your first years is kind of like basic training in the military. So your brahmacharis are, you know, being trained to be humble. So humble means do whatever you're asked. So that's good. And we all went through that. All of us who lived in the temples, we all went through that. And that's really important training. And then at some point in our life, we realize that I have a certain inclination and a tendency and enthusiasm for a particular service. And then we express that to our leaders. If the leader's really good, they'll see it before you do. So I can see you have this nature. I would like to engage you this way. So either way, at some point. But doing whatever we're asked for, it builds the character of a disciple, brahmacharya. And that's always going to be our life. Even if you're doing what you like, it has so many things within it that you won't like to do, right? Like flying overnight on airplanes. No, I don't like to do it, but it's part of the seva. Right? So you do it. So I've learned to do whatever, the Brahma Brahmacharya, I learned to do whatever, and I'm still able to do it now, even though I'm doing what I like, because there's so much within that that is difficult. Yes, Bhakta Stew is stewing up to ask a question, right? He looks like it's an important question.
I'm just wondering, sometimes it's difficult to assess where we're enthusiastic and determined. Sometimes we look back and our life's gone on a certain trajectory and we think, oh, I was really determined and enthusiastic there and hadn't really realised it. But sometimes we gravitate to things that we're competent at. And sometimes we get disenthused when we're not competent. Yeah. But we could be enthusiastic and not competent, which might be good for us, but not for others. So I'm just wondering if, you know, you there's certain, yeah.
I think that same question. What can you do? What service could you do for the rest of your life? I think that's such a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Prabhupada wanted us to be steady. And I think Prabhupada would be happier if you're doing what you can be steady at every day, day in and day out. That will help you. It'll help the temple. The temple can depend on you. Devotees can depend on you, and it will build character for you. And you will, if you do it every day the rest of your life, you're bound to get accomplished at it. And I don't think you would be enthused to do something every day the rest of your life if you had no skill in it. Because normally when we don't have a skill, it's difficult to do. We don't like it, right? Isn't it? If I look at a counting sheet, I get dizzy. Seriously, I go... somehow or other, you know. It's like I look at all these numbers. So I don't think I could do that my whole life. I don't think the temple would want me to do it because the books would never balance. But somebody else, they look at that sheet and they go, I love this. So, okay, one more question. Or when are we supposed to end? A half hour ago? How can we go till 9? Okay. Whoever gets the mic can ask the question. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned that if something is not in our nature, artificially trying to do it won't help. But what I've seen is that sometimes doing things artificially does help. For example, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was never into reading. Even after coming into Krishna consciousness, I was not into reading. But I read this in a book by Asad Sarup Maharaj. In his book, Prabhupada Appreciation, he writes, the more you read, the more you'll want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And when I applied it, it worked. And sometimes similar thing is recommended for chanting also. The more you chant, the more you'll want to chant.
Yes, definitely. So well, that's what I meant. Dance if you don't feel like it. I didn't mean... There's certain things that are required, and it'd really be good to be enthusiastic about them, right? But like you say, my point was sometimes you have to force yourself to do it, and then you become enthusiastic about it. So yeah, and that's Vaidhi Bhakti. You know, it's not like when you join, you're going to be enthusiastic about everything, but you try to be. So you do, you try to be, let's say you're not enthusiastic about reading, but you try to be. And then by doing it, so many devotees become addicted to reading, right, by doing it. Some devotees don't like to read, even after reading. So, you know, what can you do? Yeah. But so they have to force themselves. So what you say is true, but not always. Yeah. But even if it's not true, it's something we have to do. So it's nice to learn to like what you don't like if it's something that's very important. Right? You know, it's part of our sadhana. Like I always think we should all learn to like japa even if we don't, because we do it every day and it's so important, and it doesn't make sense to do something every day and not master it. So we should learn to master it. Right. It's the same with reading or whatever. We want to get up early, and it's like, I'm a night person, I don't like early. Well, could you learn to like early? Because that's what you're supposed to like. You know, so sometimes we have to learn to like what we don't like, because the thing we don't like is very important for us. So it's easier on us if I learn to like it, isn't it? Yes? Like if I have to do this every day, it's part of my sadhana, I should learn to like it. That would, you know, like however. Whatever I have to do to learn to like early morning, I should learn to like it. Whatever I have to do to learn to like japa, I should learn to like it. Whatever I have to do to learn to like tapasya, I should learn to like it, because this is part of the practice. Right? That's how I think, anyway. Yeah, Hare Krishna. All right. Anybody else? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So you're mentioning about how when we find a service that's kind of in our nature, we can just, you know, do it for 20, 30 years. You gave the example of yourself and teaching. So I guess my question is, if I'm doing a service and I find myself after, let's say, 2 years, that, okay, I'm not enthusiastic, does that mean that service isn't my nature and I should drop it and find something else? Or is it more the case of just something else or maintaining enthusiasm in the long run?
Yes and yes. Maybe it could be either one. It could be the wrong attitude towards the service, misunderstanding of yourself and your nature. It could be so many things. And Prabhupada didn't really talk about it so much. You know, I mean, it's there in Varnashram. You know, if you just want to be strict with Varnashram, then you have a nature and you should go with it. But we have a mission, so Prabhupada wasn't so strict about what, you know, he had sannyasis manage. It's like traditionally sannyasis don't manage, but there were some good managers. So it's really a question for you to contemplate, because I don't know the specifics. But I always felt like, for me, the best position to be in is the position I'm naturally enthusiastic towards, because then it's so easy to be steady. And you know, there's a saying that obstacles are those things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. So when you have a certain nature, you have a certain attraction for a certain goal, and you can't really take your eyes off it. So whatever gets in the way doesn't bother you, because you're so attracted to achieving success in that area. And that's why it makes it so natural to be determined. Like, you know, you're determined to find that prasadam, it's midnight, you know, you're going to stay awake and find it. And if you look at your life and you think of anything in your life which you really wanted to achieve, you didn't really notice the obstacles. They didn't really bother you. They were just like, get that out of the way, wasn't it? It's like, it's just another thing to get out of the way. But if you're not enthusiastic, you see the obstacle, you're like, ah, it's just too hard. Right? So understanding that, it seems to me intelligently that I would want to find those things in Krishna consciousness where I'm so passionate about, that I will just work and work despite all obstacles. I'll never stop. And then Prabhupada said, and if I do that, then my sadhana just improves along with it. Naturally, I'm enthused in my service. I'm enthused in my sadhana. I'm enthused in my service. So if you can find those services which are super inspiring for you, you're naturally, if that was the whole point of the class, you'll naturally be determined automatically. And so why put yourself in a situation where I don't want to get up to do this. Yeah. All right, we should be pure and we should do whatever, right? But what we should be and what we are not always the same. And if you know, that's something we have to confront. I know I should just surrender and do anything, but I'm not inspired by this. And I'm losing enthusiasm. I'm losing my sadhana, suffering, and so forth. So in the name of surrender, I'm not very Krishna conscious now. In the name of not surrender, I find a service, and I'm more Krishna conscious. So it's not always black and white. Have you ever seen someone so surrendered that they leave ISKCON? You ever seen that? They burn out because they wanted to surrender, but it was beyond their adhikari. It was beyond their qualification. And so it would have been better if they did something other, less surrendered, they'd still be here today. So, you know, you have to be intelligent about what is your capability. And, you know, like, I know I should be enthusiastic about this, but I'm not. So I'm trying to force myself, okay, it's all right, but I'm really enthusiastic about this. Can I do that service? If I can, that would probably be better for me in the long run. Even though I were more surrendered, I'd be able to be enthusiastic about this other service equally, but I'm not. So I have to deal with that reality. Reality is not always blissful and not always pleasing, but it's important to deal with it. Because if you don't, it comes up and bites you later, right? Yes, last question.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhu, for the class. So I wanted to ask, sometimes we want to surrender more, and because you mentioned that sometimes it may be risky, because it may be not necessarily, it may be beyond our adhikar, like you mentioned. So how do we know? Because sometimes we have that desire, I wish I could surrender more to that service, but also I know that it creates bit of disturbance for my mind because mm-hmm. of some certain circumstances. So how do we know?
How do we know how surrendered we are on a scale of 1 to 10? I think a lot of us misinterpret the word surrender, because let's say we're using his example. He surrenders to this service, and we always see, oh, he used to be really happy and now he's always morose. And you see him during japa and he's falling asleep. And you go, oh, he used to be so enthusiastic. But now he's more surrendered. And you might think, I don't think he's more surrendered. It doesn't look like it. So maybe we have to redefine surrender. Like, what is favorable for your bhakti? What you know, at the end of your life, where you is what is the path you're on going to help you at the end of your life? Are you progressing? Because in the name of surrender, maybe you're not. In the name of not surrender, maybe you are. So we have to redefine surrender, not as like, just that I'm doing something that's difficult and I don't like to do, but I'm doing what is best for my bhakti. That's a better definition, don't you think? And so, yeah, I wish I was on this level, but I'm not. And so for me, I can see doing this is going to bring me to this level eventually. But shooting for this level will probably bring me down to here, because I'll fail and I'll be discouraged and I'll give up. Possible. We see that, isn't it? So the principle of surrender, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, is do what's favorable to bhakti and avoid what's not favorable. So if you're engaged in a way that's favorable, you're surrendered. And if you're surrendered in a way that's not favorable, you're not surrendered. Yes? Yeah. Why surrender in a way that you're not becoming Krishna conscious? Doesn't make sense. Does it? Can you surrender to that?
I'll try. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.